But let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to gather together on this day. Thank you for the good weather. Even though it's been threatening rain, you've given us good traveling. I pray that going home will be safe traveling, that you'll bless our services tomorrow, that you'd bless this hour. And as we talk about this matter of repetition and review, I pray that, Lord, we'd be better at communicating truth so that people will remember it. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember as a child hearing the phrase, repetition aids learning. And I said, what? We'll get it in a minute. You were waiting for me to give you the rest of the story. But I, you know, you hear about repetition and how important it is. But the truth is, oftentimes we hear bored people in our classes and churches say things like, I'm tired of hearing the same old, same old. And if we are not careful, we can become a victim to this mentality. We get tired of being reminded of things that are important. How often have you heard a sermon or a lesson that was covering familiar territory? Think about what's coming up in December. Christmas. How many times do you tell the Christmas story? Every year. Matter of fact, it may take the entire month, right? And when you think about Easter and et cetera, we do the same thing then. And if we're not careful, we, in our attempt to keep things relevant or to keep them fresh, we will seek novel material which can be counterproductive to helping ground the next generation in truth. And I'm afraid that in too many of our churches, especially I'm thinking of youth groups and or children's church, in which so many times we're trying to keep it fun and exciting and happy and relevant to where they're at, that we don't realize that they need to be grounded in the truth. They need to be grounded in solid doctrine so that they will be able to deal with the issues. Now, I'm not saying you don't relate it to relevant subjects, but what I am saying is that we can't seek or substitute novelty for the sake of keeping it fun and exciting instead of having truth. So, we don't need to discover new truth. We need to be grounded in the eternal truth of God's word. We can be so overwhelmed by so many choices and so much cool and wow that we don't realize that what they need and what I need is the truth, to be reminded of the truth. I say this because I think about those of us who've been teaching for decades. And then you start thinking about how I'm going to, teach this class. Well, I already taught it this way before. But everybody, see, here's the thing. I think back to the same old, same old that I heard when I was growing up. And then I don't want to be like those people where I heard the same old, same old. And so I want to be cutting edge and fresh and funny and all that kind of stuff. But the truth is that you get one pass to go through life. And every age level needs their age level material, if you will, so that they can build in their cumulative knowledge so that they'll be prepared for whatever it is that God has for them. And so if we're not careful to be cool, we'll skip, I'm going to throw out the quarterly or whatever it is. And listen, I don't know what your church uses, Regular Baptist Press, Abeka, West Coast, or, you know, Striving Together, whatever it might be. But those, and I didn't realize this until I started teaching in the Christian school, there's this thing called scope and sequence. And that sounded almost scientific to me. Microscopes and sequence and so forth. You're welcome to come in here if you want. But if you don't have to, I won't feel bad if you don't. So, but anyway, all that to say that it is the line upon line, here a little, there a little, that is essential so that, and it's designed on purpose so that they learn what they need to learn so that by the time they get to adulthood, they've heard the Bible stories, they've heard the basic doctrines, they've heard all of the things that are essential. And we have to be willing to be a part of that instead of trying to be an inventor of something new and different. And I think if I can just, because I started out as a youth pastor, And so as a youth pastor, I wanted to do my own thing. instead of following the sequence and the you might say the material that was handed me, instead of teaching the truth they needed to hear, I wanted to teach truth that I was interested in. But they didn't need to hear what I wanted to say. They needed to hear what they needed to hear so that they could learn brick by brick so they could have a solid foundation and a house that was going to stand the test of time and the temptations that would come their way. So novel ideas can lead a lot of believers away from established truth under the guise of being fresh and progressive. Tradition isn't always right, but time-tested wisdom should be evaluated, not discarded out of desire to be different or trendy. And I say that because I've heard this a lot recently, mostly from millennials. There seems to be an angst between the boomers and the millennials. Have you noticed this? And that's what the millennials will say, okay, thanks, boomer, you know, as in like you're old, so forsake the hoary head and let's find something fresh, different in an answer to today's problems. And so they discard the wisdom of centuries of how things have been done for the sake of something that's cool, relevant, and cutting edge. And I'm not saying that just because it's traditional doesn't mean it's right. But it does mean that some things were established and maybe you ought to evaluate it carefully before you just simply throw it out. And so that comes to our own teaching and it comes to as we help others in our churches. So novelty often focuses on style over substance, especially in preaching, music, or in church methods. And how many settle for the slop of the world instead of rehearsing the old paths of sound doctrine? And so let's not be like him, okay? And if you don't have a firm foundation, you can't build. There's nothing that you can build on. And one of the problems that we're having is we're trying to confront people. And Charlie Kirk has been mentioned so many times today already in just about every session and over the last week or so. And even at lunch, we were talking about that situation and all of that. And you know, when you think about what was he doing? In many ways, he was laying a foundation and challenging people. Before you get into the nitty-gritty of how you're going to teach doctrine, you have to lay a foundation. And we've seen this with Ken Ham in the Answers in Genesis, laying the foundation of there is a God. He made the worlds. Well, just those two simple truths help establish the fact that there is accountability and that there is a way, a right way of doing things, because obviously order and design is what God included in his creation. And so therefore, there's a right and a wrong way of doing things. And so that lays a foundation upon which to build. When do you learn that? Toddler church. They learn that in 4 and 5s. And well, you know, that's not fun. Let's watch VeggieTales instead. Well, you know, we'll not debate the merits or demerits of VeggieTales. My point is that they need to learn those things and those concepts, and they're probably not going to get it the first time. Right. You know? And so what does that require? Repetition. Okay? So why is it, and this is the big question, why is it necessary to repeat and review what we do in our classes? All right, here it is. Number one, this is important. Write this down. Why? Because we're going to review when we're done, all right? But number one is because people forget. That's why. The forgetting curve is a concept induced by Hermann Ebbinghaus that illustrates how information is lost over time when there's no attempt to retain it. It demonstrates that memory retention declines significantly shortly after learning, with studies showing that we can lose up to 90% of the information within a week if not reinforced. So the curve highlights the importance of actively engaging with material to improve memory retention. So stop and think about this. After 20 minutes, you forget half of what I said. What was my first point? No, I'm just kidding. But if you... I forgot. Right, that's it. I forgot, yes. Because people forget. 20 minutes is all it takes for us to forget half of what we learned in Sunday school. That's why when your kids come home from Sunday school and you say, what did you learn today? And they're like, I don't know, I forgot. What did you learn in class today or in school today? I don't know, I forgot. Why? Because they lose so much of it. And within a week, they're going to lose 90%. That's why most kids, what most teachers have learned, that you give a test on Friday or on Tuesday. You never give a test on Monday because Monday, by the time they come back, they've had a whole weekend to drain their brain, so you walk in with nothing on Monday morning. And how many of them are walking in? Do you ever start with review in your Sunday school class before you go on to the new lesson? And they sit there and they have no, even if you give out candy, they raise their hand, but they still don't know the answer because they have forgotten unless they purpose to review. And we're no better. Matter of fact, kids are probably better at it than we are. So as you get older, it gets worse. Number two, because some people are not paying attention. I said, kidding. Because some people are not paying attention. They're not tuned in. They're not with you. And you say, well, you know, shame on them. Well, maybe so. But they're walking into your class, sitting down, and they're not listening. They're not paying attention because another issue here, because some people are preoccupied with other thoughts. Maybe they got yelled at right before they walked out of the door to get on the bus to come to church. Maybe there was an argument that was in the car on the way to church. The kids are reeling from it as they go to their class. The parents are sitting there thinking of what they would have liked to have said to each other. That would have been the zinger, you know, to really put them in their place. And as a result of that, their thoughts are on other things. Or for that matter, it could be, come Sunday, nobody's listening to your sermon because they're thinking about the Charlie Kirk Memorial that's going to be afterwards. Or they're thinking about the Bears game and whether or not they can even pull one win out of the season.
No.
Before the first Monday night game, I was hopeful because they had won their preseason games. And then I'm thinking after two losses, same old Bears, you know. So I still root for them, but I just root more quietly. All right, number three, because some people are immature and can't comprehend, only to learn at a later time. Sometimes people don't get it the first time that it goes through because they just don't. Look, I had a man who came up to me. He was probably in his 40s, and this is years ago. And he walked up to me and he said, I just want to thank you for taking the time in your sermon to tell the stories. He says, because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't hear about David and Goliath. I didn't know about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And for even you to recap it for just a couple of minutes to kind of set the stage helps those of us who didn't have that upbringing to be with you in what you're trying to say. So it's a matter of realizing that not everybody is at the same maturity level that you are. And I was sitting in a class, this was a graduate class, and the pastor was, the teacher was a pastor. He was a walking brain, just an incredible man, good man, godly man. But, you know, he knows his Greek and his Hebrew like the back of his hand. And he was talking, and all of the guys in the class are all pastors, right? And he says, and as you fellows know, and then he named the word, what this means, and they're all nodding their head like, oh, yes. And I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, yes, I have no idea what he's talking about. I only had 1 year of required Greek. I didn't take second year. And in the year I took, I wasn't paying attention. So therefore, my point is that it wasn't very, I was trying to act like I knew what he was talking about, but I didn't. I was in over my head. And every Sunday, any visitor that comes, probably he's in over his head. Number next is because some people are prone to forget. Some people are prone to get, I say some people, most of us are prone to forget, but out of sight, out of mind. And that's what happens is that we might be with you in the moment, but then we're going to walk away and forget so much of it. And we don't tend to remember the things that we don't purpose to remember. Number next is because some people are struggling with vocabulary words or clarity issues. Some people don't understand your lingo. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with using Bible words in our preaching and in our teaching. Don't change and dumb down redemption, justification, or any of these other Bible words. Explain them.
Amen. Amen.
Just help people to learn what it means so that way they can be on board with you. And I started teaching Bible doctrines here on a Wednesday night series 25 years ago. And a guy came up to me afterwards and he goes, I don't understand why you're using all of these big fancy theological words. He said, why don't you just speak in normal English? And I said, how long have you been in church? He said, since I was a kid. And I said, and you don't know what these words means? These words mean? And he said, no. And I said, well, you should have learned them when you were younger. Yeah. In other words, it's not bad. And sometimes we get this idea that if we dumb everything down, that somehow we're more relatable. Well, you dumb it down, and what are they learning? Dumb and dumber, okay? We're not really helping them to grow. So I want to reach down where they are, but I want to lift them up where they can't be. I mean, we do that with every other form of subject that we teach, math, English, science, history, any of those things. We take them from their ignorance, and we help them to learn. Now, don't do it in a condescending way. I was at a conference, and as a pastor, he was a brain too. He was talking about music and different music genres and so forth like that. And of course, one pastor looked at me and he goes, what's a genre? And anyway, so, which I know some of you are thinking, I don't know what a genre is. It's types of music, okay? So anyway, but this pastor, he was talking about this stuff. And then he said this, there's probably 200 pastors there. And he said, now how can I put this in a way that you people could understand? So just a little condescending, you know? And I don't think he meant anything by it, but message received, okay? I got it. And so we want to reach down where they are, but I don't want to insult their intelligence either, okay? They just need to be informed. They need to be encouraged. They need to be brought up. Lastly, because some people have health issues. The bottom line is that there are some people, neurological conditions that hinders them from hearing or understanding or retaining information. So I want to be clear so that it will be helpful for them to remember. So why am I spending this time? Because we haven't gotten to the lesson yet. This is just introduction. But the whole point is that you understand what's walking in your classroom or in your auditorium. So you got a lot of people coming from a lot of different places and they need help. They need to be instructed. So let's talk about the biblical basis then for repetition. The biblical basis for repetition. And I want you to go back to the Bible and I want you to think with me for a minute how that God used repetition. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. They need to hear it. How often? Again and again and again. Repetition to reinforce memory and leadership. Joshua needed to hear, he needed to remember, because there was going to be times that he was going to be called upon to do stuff. So every year at the beginning of the year, we have first aid CPR training. So every other year, we're getting first aid CPR training. And they come in and they tell us this stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah. Can you imagine an EMT running out of the ambulance coming in, and you got, you know, big old gash in your leg, or maybe you had a heart attack or something like that. And he's like, oh, you know, we studied that. Oh, man, what was that again? You don't have time to go back to the manual and start flipping through the pages. And obviously, how is it you hear it, you can write it down on paper, but then you've got to rehearse it. You've got to practice it in order for it to get part of your DNA, if you will, so that when you're in a situation, you can immediately respond. That's what we want to have in the Christian life when it comes to living Bible truth. You can't just hear principles. You can't just memorize and write them down, but it's got to be part of your practice. And obviously that's implemented one at a time as we begin to involve ourselves with it. And there's going to be hit or miss a little bit, but there has to be that effort of using repetition. And God used repetition. And the Lord said unto Moses, I already said that, to write it in, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. So repetition reinforces memory and leadership. And Joshua became strong leader because Moses rehearsed truths in his ears. Notice capital letter B there that parents were commanded to repeat. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Well, how do you teach it diligently? How many of you are guilty of saying, if I've told you once, I've told you, and then fill in the blank, 100, 1,000, million times, depending on how egregious it is, because you expect them to know, but the truth of the matter is while you're telling them the 10th time, maybe Other time, he wasn't paying attention. Another time, he had something else on his mind. Maybe another time, there was some issue, had a headache and couldn't concentrate, whatever it might be, but this time he got it. So what I'm saying is that if God rehearses and reviews, and if parents are commanded to review, then maybe we should be a little bit more patient as we review. Instead of being disgusted and irritated with people who didn't get it already, maybe we should go back and see it as a teaching moment. Ah, you're listening now. You want to learn. Let me teach you while you have ears to hear. Number three, teach them diligently. And literally it means to repeat or to sharpen or to ingrain. Morning and evening, in the house and in the field, it was constant repetition that the parents were to be teaching diligently to their children over and over again. Isn't it good when they get it? Isn't it? Yes, sir.
Yeah, you saw it say work before play.
Yeah.
Work before play. I've heard that a million times from my father.
Yeah. Yeah. And?
Now I say it.
Yeah. Right. But it is also those teachings that Let's just take it out of the parent realm for a second, put it in the political realm. Does anybody know what the slogan was for Bill Clinton?
I feel your pain.
I feel your pain, exactly. And behind the thinking is that people vote with their wallet, you know? And the thing that they would say internally was, it's the economy, stupid. That was what was said over and over again. But his code word on the campaign trail was, I feel your pain. And what was he trying to do? He's trying to connect with people. And he said it over and over and over and over again. You look at these politicians and how they can speak without any notes, because they only have one message. And they take it everywhere with them. They might incorporate some new things, but they've got just one message. And what are they doing? They're repeating, 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 so that way it becomes ingrained. Anyone know what President Trump's is? Make America great again. Yeah, it worked for one campaign. You decided it would work for the second one too. Okay, and so it is. Anyone know what Obama's was? What?
Change you can believe in.
Okay, yeah. Hope and change was the idea of it. And President Biden? Build back better. Build back better. That was his. Well, some of you were listening. So, anyway, parents were commanded to repeat. Jesus used repetition. Verily, verily, I say unto you, is used 25 times in the Gospel of John. The phrase emphasizes certainty. He repeated phrases and principles to instill them. He was reminding them, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's reminding them of things that they needed to know. If God the Father can use it, and if God the Son can use it, and if God commands parents to use it, do you think we should use it? Okay, one more before we move on. Paul used repetition. Philippians 3 and verse 1, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. By the way, just think about the Gospels. Four accounts of the same stories. And how similar is Ephesians and Colossians? It's almost like, couldn't you have given us something else, you know? By the way, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. And so when you hear it, and then you hear it again, and you hear it again, it helps to get established in your head. How many times have we had to witness to somebody before they caught it? When somebody gets saved because you witness to them, they most likely have been witnessed to before. And some of them for years prayed for, and you just were able to reap the harvest. And sometimes you are just planting the seed, and it may not be an immediate response, but it is worth the benefit, all right? Repeating truth was not a burden. It was a safeguard. And so we need to see this. So the objective, repetition matters in the Christian teaching ministry. It's essential that we use repetition. It says in Isaiah 28 and verse 10, it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Do you see the repetition even in that verse? What do you think Isaiah is trying to point out? That we need to review, that we need to repeat. So how many of you remember a Sunday school song or a Bible verse from childhood? Okay. What sticks with us is what is repeated. Repetition is not laziness. It's a biblical strategy for deep learning. Repetition is something that we ought to do on a regular basis as we go through and as we talk about things. And by the way, I'll just say this. He didn't pay me to say this, but John Wilkerson does that all the time. Now, it is not a surprise to me that he started out as a teacher. And he repeats things and repeats things and repeats things. And it's kind of like, oh, you didn't have time to study this week, huh? You just have to repeat the same old? No, that's not it at all. It's on purpose. It's by design because you are helping people to get it so that it's ingrained in their heart, in their head. And it's good when people start to say something and the crowd then responds with the rest of the sentence. Because what you're doing is you're seeing that it has been learned. Okay, and as you keep it fresh and keep it beneficial, so that it is. And by the way, so what do I want to teach then? Just a side note here, that which is important. If it's worth repeating, it's got to be important to begin with, and so we want to teach what is important, that is repeatable, and needs to be learned through repetition, so that it can be lived out in lives. Number two, let's talk about the beautiful benefits. I was going to say the big, beautiful bill. Let's talk about the beautiful benefits of repetition. And notice the phrase there, 8 laws of learning are explanation, demonstration, imitation, repetition, 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 repetition. They didn't run out of words. They did it on purpose. What's the point? I want to make sure that I explain something. I want to demonstrate it. I want you to be able to imitate it. I want to repeat it then, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. And that's what it is, because reinforcing, repetition reinforces learning. Repetition helps transfer information from short-term to long-term memory. We've all memorized verses that we needed to say to somebody for a moment. Pastors, we can be guilty of memorizing a verse so they can use it in a sermon. 2 weeks later, ask me what the verse was. I don't know, but I do have a Bible, so you go look it up, right? But memorizing it for long-term memory is repeating it and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. How often do we use that in classes? When you have kids or people to quote memory verses with you, to read the verses, to hear the verses, to say the verses, it's helping to get that from this short-term memory into the long-term memory so that they'll have it. I'm so thankful for having teachers that required me to learn verses when I was a child, because those are the verses that I remember. The hundreds and hundreds of verses I learned in my Sunday school, in my youth group, and in my Christian school. And I'm thankful for that. And I can still memorize. I can. It's just I rely upon the words I already memorized. Students often need to hear or see something multiple times before it sticks. And as I said, some of these impediments to remembering and learning are in the way. And so we have to, I don't know how many of you are guilty of this, but when somebody comes up to me and I'll say, hi, how are you? And tell me your name, and they'll tell me their name. And within 5 seconds, I forgot what they said. I don't remember what their name is. And so then I'll have to say to them, okay, wait a second. One more time. What was your first name again? And then they'll tell me, and now I got both ears on. In other words, I'm listening this time versus the other time I was thinking about something else. I had something, you know, going on. I was preoccupied, whatever it might be. And so I am purposing to remember it. And so it's got to be said multiple times. I've often said that when people come and visit our church, they'll tell me their name, and by Monday, I have no idea who they were. I'll get their visitor card. I'll go visit them. I will talk with them. And once I have made that visit, I know their name. I know where they live. In other words, I can go back to their house. I can call them by name. It's like it's here. Why? Because I had to walk through it. I had to purpose to retain it in my head. And we can do this by teaching and repeating something until it sticks. Number next. Repetition builds confidence and mastery. Practicing the same concept repeatedly allows learners to feel more confident until it becomes old hat, so that they're able to do it. If you've ever taught a personal evangelism class, or if you've ever gone through a personal evangelism class, or just learning how to go soul winning, and that first time when you start learning those verses and you're trying to deal with somebody, how do you get confident at it? Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and then you come to the point that you've mastered it. And now you feel confident to be able to share your faith without worrying about what you're going to say next or what the next verse might be. Repetition helps turn knowledge into skill, especially with foundational topics like math facts, grammar rules, scripture memory, those kinds of things. It helps us to get where we're confident in what we know. And all of that comes by repetition. When I was in school, do you remember English class? And here I am, I think I was a junior or senior in high school, and I get up, or I sit in the class, and the teacher gets up on the first day of school and has a sentence on the board and says, "All right, somebody point out a noun." And I'm like, "Serious? I learned this in seventh grade. Nouns, verbs, adverbs, adjectives, all those parts of speech. We already know all this stuff. Why do they always start with the basics on day one?" Repetition aids learning because I need to be reminded of it. In case I forgot everything I learned over the school or the summer, then I have to be reminded of it. And so it's important so that I can build confidence and mastery of it so that I can do what I ought to do. And whether that be math facts or, more importantly, as we talk about this, whether it be teaching the Bible and some of the concepts, definitions. If you're reviewing over something, even like Bible terminology. Now, what is this again? Or you give them the definition, ask for the term, give them the term, ask for definition. In other words, do it both ways. So that way they're learning it and they can repeat it. Now, somebody explain that to me in your own words. What does it mean to be redeemed? Okay, give me an example of something getting redeemed. You see what we're doing? We're forcing you to churn that information through your brain all over again. All right? So, number C, repetition clarifies and deepens understanding. Seeing a concept from multiple angles over time helps students understand it more fully. When you stop and you think about the matter of understanding something, you can know something and not understand it. Understanding is a deeper level. I grew up in church from third grade on. I got saved when I was 8 years old. My parents had been divorced, they got married, we started going to church. I'm 8 years old, and from the very beginning, they put us in the Christian school, and I remember hearing about grace and faith and all of those big Bible words. You know, grace is unmerited favor, and faith is forsaking all, I trust Him. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I learned all those definitions, and I knew it, but I didn't understand it. It wasn't really until I was an adult that the understanding of faith and grace took root and I began to understand what living by faith was all about and what God's grace and enablement to do what God's called me to do or to have the spiritual power to live the Christian life. I didn't understand it. It had to be taught to me and taught to me. And even when you think you've read it, even reading your Bible, how many of you read through your Bible multiple times and then you're reading through it one time and suddenly a verse stands out to you and you're like, "Oh, I knew that, but I just didn't get it before." So repetition helps us to understand it more fully. Repetition with variation, using different examples or methods, can solidify abstract or difficult concepts. The concrete stuff is a little bit easier. That's why we tell the stories in the elementary grades, because it's more concrete. They understand it. But then you get into more topical type issues as you get into the junior high and senior high level and adult level, because you're dealing with more abstract facts. But taking a look at it from different angles or using different examples, different preaching styles, we try to have, you know, a variety of different speakers. Why? Because variety is the spice of life, right? Well, it's not just that. It's just that different people teach differently. There is no right way to teach. God's gifted every man according to the talents that God's given him so that we can then live and teach. But some people are going to teach in such a way that the light's going to come on. And that is so irritating as a pastor when I have faithfully preached the word of God and some fly-by-night evangelist pops in here on a Sunday, preaches some prepackaged, sugar-coated sermon, and suddenly people are like, oh, Pastor, that was such a great service. You want to have this guy back again. He made the Bible so clear. It's like, I just preached on that last week, you know? So I have learned that evangelists are not to be hated, but to realize that they are to be cherished for the fact that they are helping to solidify things in people's minds. Listen, I need to be more concerned about people's growth than I am about my own copyright or my own trademark, if you will, of, no, I taught that first, you know. That's not about me. It's about him. It's about his word. It's about Christians growing in grace. Number D, repetition supports all types of learners. Some students, especially auditory or, yeah, whatever that word is, need repeated exposure to grasp concepts. When you think about the people that are hands-on learners or people who are not just readers, some of you, you read a book and you got it. Other people, it's just funny things looking all over on a page. They hear it and they get it. Other people, they've got to be involved. They've got a taste, touch, smell kind of that style of leader. Yes. Yeah. 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 I was trying to figure out how to pronounce that. And I heard it pronounced once. But anyway, I'm sitting in sixth grade boys Sunday school class. My teacher was teaching on Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he said, now look, he said, can you imagine what it was like sitting there and then all of a sudden these fish and just eating those fish. And I don't know exactly how it tied together perfectly, but he said, all right. He says, I have all of these handkerchiefs. I want everybody to tie it and blindfold yourself. And so we did. And he says, now I want you to lean back, open your mouth, and I'm going to drop a fish in your mouth. And I was just like, well, I didn't like fish anyway because they had bones in it, and I was afraid I was going to choke to death. But if it's a fillet of fish, it's okay. But anyway, I wasn't sure about that. Well, he had these little pear slices, and he just dropped these in our mouth. Well, that was a tasty treat. I still remember that story and that lesson because of whatever this word is, helping me with a hands-on memory so that I could have it and learn it that way. Listen, it's some of the object lessons. I remember a junior church sermon. And I still don't know exactly how they did it, but they were talking about hell and what it was like. And they took this guy and they brought him in. And of course, he was dressed up like he was some kind of a punk and, you know, a gangbanger type style. And they take him and they have this setting that they were going to, you are judged, you are found guilty, you're going to be cast into hell. And they had this big barrel and they took the guy and they poured him in there. And then they took this can of gasoline, and they poured it all over him. And then they pushed him down in there, and then they lit it on fire. I still remember that sermon illustration. And I know what, I didn't want to go to hell, that's for sure. And of course, he's down in the barrel, and he's like, ah, let me out of here. And I thought he was literally on fire. And the sad thing was, I knew the guy, you know. He was a teenager, and they put him in there. Now, obviously, they'd done some kind of illusion to make the point, but I'll tell you, it was a very graphic, memorable kind of impact. So what do? We lit him on fire again to repeat it. No, I'm just kidding. But it's creating those memories so that way they can have it in their heart, in their mind. It creates opportunities for learners who may not have understood it the first time. How many times have we learned something on the second go-around? We didn't get it the first time. It's okay to repeat yourself. That's part of what I'm trying to say this morning is that when you say, well, I feel like I need to be fresh, and as a pastor, I'm always trying to have fresh messages and something new that hasn't been taught before, and my job is not to invent things to preach. My job is to preach what God said. Amen. And it's not about whether I have something new to say. It's about, did you get it? Did you learn it? And is it going to help change your life? Number next, Number E, repetition minimizes forgetting. According to the forgetting curve, people forget most of what they learn unless it's reviewed. Okay, just a little review question. How long until you've forgotten half of what we've talked about?
20 minutes.
Wow, not bad. You guys are doing, it hasn't been 20 minutes yet. How long until you've forgotten 90%?
One week.
Yeah, okay. So, spaced repetition, that is revisiting content over time, is especially effective for long-term retention. So to go back and review stuff, and whether that's review games at the end of a lesson, or whether it is reviewing at the beginning and talking about what happened last week, or maybe even what you've been talking about over the last, we've been in a series on Sunday mornings doing all to the glory of God. That's our theme this year on Sunday mornings. And so I get up almost every Sunday and I'll remind them, this is what we started with in January. And we'll highlight these things and we'll talk about, we've been spending all these months talking about beholding our God, His essence, His attributes, His sovereignty, His names. We've looked at all of these things. Now we're talking about believe your God. He's given us His word. A God that we have beheld needs to be believed in what He said. How are you going to do all to the glory of God if you don't believe what He said, you know? And so we're just working our way through that. I want everyone by the end of this year to know what the theme was. Now, it might be overly simplistic that we would only have so few things that we have learned over the year, but I'll tell you, if they get it, it's life-changing. And so, spaced repetition, revisiting it time and time again. Number F, repetition encourages habits and application. In subjects like character training or Bible teaching, repetition helps internalize values and behaviors. It moves learners from passive knowledge into active practice. One of the greatest things that we need to do is engage our people. We've got to get them engaged. In other words, they've got to participate in their own learning. You don't just put your notes under your pillow at night and expect to know it in the morning. And you can't just sit there casually like you're watching television and veg out while the preacher's doing whatever he's doing up on the platform and expect to remember what he said. You're going to have to actively participate, and I do this a lot, especially in Sunday school Wednesday nights, I always have an outline with blanks, just like you have right here. You know why? Because it engages you. Now, how many of you listen to what I say, or how many of you are just looking for the next blank because it's driving you nuts that there's a blank there and you haven't been able to fill it in yet? So there are some distractions in that regard, but on the other hand, it's also engaging you in the memory process. Even the Bible uses repetition to drive home important truths. Jesus often repeated key teachings, and we need to understand the value and the benefit of it. When he said, verily, verily, and Paul wrote the same things to them again. So, what was Roman numeral 1 again?
Forget.
The main point. What's that?
Biblical
basis, okay. What was the second main point? The beautiful benefits, okay. The basis, the benefits, and now notice the bountiful boost of repetition, okay? I was trying to keep it alliterated. That's supposed to be a memory aid, but we'll see how well that goes. I'll give you another 5 minutes and we'll see. Notice that repetition aids memory. And by the way, I already said that once, but I'm gonna say it again. Why? Because it bears repeating. Studies in education show it takes 7 to 10 repetitions to remember complex ideas. So teach it this way, then teach it that way, and then teach it that way, and then teach it that way. And what are you doing? You're repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. It takes that many for them to get it, to see how it applies. So what happens is that sometimes if you're not careful, I'm this way. I want to give out so much information because I only have 45 minutes or a half hour, whatever it is, and I'm trying to, I want you to get it. That sometimes you can give information overload and they walk away with absolutely nothing. I want them to walk away with the truth. And sometimes the greatest teachers are the simplest teachers. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like, well, what'd you walk away with? Well, he basically preached on this, or they taught on this, and that's it. And yet you walked away with that truth. And if you, of course, if God used it to touch your heart, that is a lifetime of learning. But the point is that if you walk away and you've learned something from Sunday school that you can then take home and repeat to others, that's the ultimate goal, that I've learned it well enough that I can now teach somebody else what I learned. Now it's in you, okay? It's a part of you. So notice Dr. Howard Hendricks, who was a master teacher at Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, "You teach not when you understand it, but when you can repeat it back and teach it, and they can teach it themselves." So it's a matter of learning it to teach it. I had a teacher when I was in college who made a great impact on my life. And I remember, because I grew up in Michigan City, and I was driving back and forth to Hiles Anderson to college. And I would go home, and my mom, she was a very encouraging kind of a mom, and in some ways. And but she would sit there and she would say, "You know, so how were classes?" I was like, "Oh man, I heard this," and I would reteach what I had learned that day. And it was a matter of, you know, I didn't really have to study for the test because I already had it in here. Because I'd taken it in, I'd processed it, and then I was spitting it back out. Number two, repetition reinforces doctrine. I've got to hurry. Repeated biblical terms. Fear not. 365 times in the Bible. Okay? What is it doing? What do you think God's trying to tell us? To fear not. That's right. Okay. Sometimes we refer to this as catechism style repetition. Catechism style is not just tradition. It builds doctrinal confidence. You know, it's a sad thing that Catholics are better at indoctrinating their people than Baptists are. They come to our church and they learn how to have the world's largest lollipop. But they go to the Catholic Church and they learn the catechism style of they ask a question and here's the memorized answer. And they have it in their head, in their heart, and we are just simply having a big crowd. Now, I'm not criticizing all of that. I'm just saying that there is a merit to the catechism style of teaching and helping. By the way, Awana does that. Master Clubs does that. And some of the other private programs, King's Kids and other things, where they're learning that on a catechism style. Number C, repetition shapes worldview. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train implies repeated action and correction. Let me give you these last couple in the last minute that I have here. Notice the building blocks of repetition. Best thing we can do is repeat core ideas weekly. Emphasize main doctrines or truths every week in a little bit different light. Salvation by grace, authority of Scripture, God's faithfulness. Highlight those things and repeat them. Why? Because they're big. They're a big deal. Use repetitive phrasing. Create simple, repeated phrases. Things that, what was it that your dad said? Work before play?
Yes.
I mean, that's a simple phrase. And whether it's something like that or Jesus is always enough, you know, that kind of a phrase will help people to remember. And then I'll just list these for you. Cumulative review. Start with review. Quote memory verses more than just one the last week, but quote them from a couple of weeks before. Visual aids and hand motions can help people. Cements learning, especially in children with hand motions. E, assign review buddies. Pair students to repeat what they learned last week. Okay, turn to somebody next to you and tell them in the next 30 seconds everything you've learned in this class. Do you see what you're doing? You're engaging people to participate. And so, in conclusion, let repetition become a spiritual discipline. Repetition isn't boring. It's biblical. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And I'd love to discuss some things with you, but I don't have time to repeat myself. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them for you, but I got people waiting to get into this class.
Repeating motions or visuals